This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis puts out a poll every day, every working day. And by the way, today, as a business day,
yes, business day.
We resume our profile of NFL cities. We're headed to Tampa. We're headed to Ybor City for Cuban sandwiches, donuts, and things to do if you are going to go check out the Panthers and the Buccaneers when they play in Tampa.
Might even talk a little ballet.
Oh, I'm very looking forward to it. Dennis tweets out, should the NFL appeal the Deshaun Watson suspension? Just yes or no? Yes or no? 64% of the vote right now is yes. 36% is no. Do you vote in your own poll?
I can't. You can't vote in your own poll.
You can't?
Post. No.
Well, that probably makes sense because you could just keep voting in it over and over. Actually, you're only allowed one vote anyway.
Exactly.
I vote in the poll. I will tell you what I said later, but I think you probably could surmise, again, third time I've used that word in the show, that my vote was no, they should not appeal. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator, joins us every Monday. All right, sir. Is the NFL going to appeal the 6-game suspension with no fine for Deshaun Watson's serial creepy behavior?
They actually just sent out a statement saying that they weren't sure if they're going to appeal or they're going to wait and decide if they're going to appeal, which is just lovely to do. Like, as you know, as you're popping on a read, it's like NFL statement released. You're like, no, I can't read it. Thanks a lot, Opal. It's tough because 6 is like right there in this fine line of, you know, you maybe got enough where the public won't roast you because of the 6. Because like the way it works is that I hate to make it a PR thing, but I mean, a lot of it is PR for the NFL. And, you know, the way it works is that, like, you know, Sue Robinson issuing her ruling as an independent third-party arbitrator doesn't, like, no one who follows, no casual fan who follows football is like, ah, I see the third-party arbitrator has weighed in with her ruling. And they're like, the NFL suspended Watson 6 games? That's not enough, or that's too much. So, you know, if you're the NFL... I mean, I don't know what you what does the appeal get you? Like, do you feel like, is the 6 games enough? Do you feel like you need to, you know, is there a need to appeal and try and get it up to like 12? Like, or, you know, are you going to get 8? Like, it's and while doing the appeal, you force the issue back into the public, you know, public viewpoint more, like, yep. which means it probably will appeal because the NFL is very ham-fisted when it comes to this sort of thing. But the prudent move would probably be not to appeal and to just say, all right, you got 6 games. That's if that's what this independent third-party arbitrator believes you should get, then take it and go. Because if you appeal and you lose, like it's a bad start for this process with a third party. So it's a tough spot. I mean, the 6 games is not a pretty. And I'm not saying it's a good number for what we don't know, what Deshaun Watson allegedly did. I'm just saying it's a good number to prevent both parties from appealing.
Here's the thing. Will Brinson is joining us here. If I were the NFL, I would not appeal for these reasons. One, if you appeal, Roger Goodell could ultimately decide this on his own. He doesn't even have to go to another third party. He has the right to simply say, we're appealing. I decided it should be at least 12 games. So here it is, plus a $5 million fine. He could do all that, and he'd be within his rights to do it based on collective bargaining. But the whole reason that the initial decision goes to a third party is because there was no trust from the players that Roger Goodell wasn't judge, jury, and executioner, which he would be completely, going back to that point.
It felt like he was sitting in his office in New York spinning a randomizer wheel.
And, here's, and then I get to this. And so tell me if this is off base. Because the judge was somewhat critical of the NFL based on others who have read the decision, which is 15 pages, which I have yet had to, had a chance to read. But the judge was critical of the NFL for essentially playing the PR game with their investigation. They didn't even speak to some people that they brought to their case. So the NFL has done such a poor job essentially protecting women. We'll just say that. And because of that, I think Judge Robinson, I think this is almost a justified decision for the judge, because she, I think it would be fair to say that the NFL, if you had done this on your own, this is probably based on what you've done before, probably what you have come up with, because they have done such a poor job protecting women.
The, yeah, the, I mean, that, that's a good point. She's probably, she's like, look, I'm following up on what you guys have done in the past in terms of your suspension of people who did stuff like this off the field. So six games seems about fair. You want a full season for Watson when you gave Ray Rice two games, right, even though you probably knew there was that video lingering out there.
They didn't even try to get that video. They didn't even try.
They actively just prayed that it wouldn't get out in the public. And then, anyway. I think the Watson stuff, like, yeah, I mean, and like you say, with Goodell, if he decides to, I mean, like the whole half of, if you go back to the last CBA, there was so much stuff that the union should have been focused on, whether it's a guaranteed money in contracts, the franchise tag, like stuff, you know, like health benefits for, and the NFL did and it was very obvious they were going to do this, and they did it. They were like, oh, look, we're going to make it okay to smoke pot. and Roger Goodell won't be in charge of all the discipline.
Right.
And we'll give a bunch of money to old guys. And the union was like, well, I mean, these are all things that we really need. We have to take them. The players were like, hell yeah, like those things sound great. So Goodell is the first instance of, you know, this big high profile disciplinary thing. And he comes out and he's like, JK, you know, I am still in charge.
Yep.
We didn't really give it to you. Then it's going to force the union to, like, it doesn't, I don't think Goodell wins at all here by outside of, you know, like flexing his muscles, or in the NFL didn't win at all outside of flexing its muscles by enhancing Deshaun Watson's punishment. So in that sense, the no on the appeal does make sense.
One more thing about this, then we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about contracts and funny helmet coverings that look like brain. Which is just an interesting look for the Guardian cap in and of its own controversy, if there is controversy around it. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is, we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. The thing about this whole thing is that owners have done a poor job. You know, we had the Robert Kraft thing, which is not anywhere close to what Deshaun Watson is accused of doing. You know, what Robert Kraft did is what, millions and millions of men do when they go to strip mall massage parlors. Just go to Myrtle Beach. All of these things are available to you in Myrtle Beach, off the menu. But Daniel Snyder was really not disciplined at all. In fact, he was protected by the NFL. And I believe that Deshaun Watson's counsel used that against the NFL. I don't know whether or not that resonated with Sue Robinson. Because
I would guess that it did, because if you read the personal conduct policy, it states very clearly and very implicitly that owners and high ranking personnel people in NFL clubs are expected to be held to the same, if not a higher standard than the players. So and they're not. I mean, it's like ipso facto. There's not. So I do think that probably factored into what Sue Robinson planned.
So Rusty Harden walks in to the arbitration hearing and just goes, "Dan Snyder, there you go. I'll see you guys later." That's all he has to say.
He's like, sorry, Deshaun Watson can't come in today. He's on his yacht floating on the Caribbean, dodging Senate hearings. Oh, wait, no, that's Dan Snyder. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh.
And look at the Cowboys situation. They had all the accusations from Rich Dalrymple, their long time. Rich Dalrymple resigned abruptly from the Cowboys. Rich Dalrymple was always present with the Cowboys.
Yes.
He was the VP of public relations. That dude was in it neck deep, man. He was always there. He was Jerry's right hand man. And Jerry was like, I don't know what Rich was doing all the side time. Like, how else was he know? It's like, Rich, Jerry, everywhere Rich was all the time.
Right.
And so, same sort of thing. I mean, the owners have far more leeway than the players do when it comes to these matters. And I would expect that fact to be.
To put a bow on the Cowboys angle here, is that one of the women that Rich Dalrymple was accused of spying on was Jerry's daughter. Right?
So creepy. So I...
And Jerry's like, lost his job, but...
But he retired.
He
lose his job. He retired. If you said the F word 17 times in the next minute, and then you're like,
I'm retiring.
Like Steve's Capital, you're like, hey, I decided to retire. They're like, well, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you're fired.
We're going to talk about the 49ers, new contract, and an old contract that they're trying to ship out of town, and the Guardian cap, which I heard the most creative way to basically say I hate it by a head coach, and I want to talk to you about that. We got a bunch of things, not to mention what's going to happen with Jacoby Brissett. We got to work NC State into this at some point. Will Brinson will be with us when we get back. Next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to some of the things I sent you, this is something I talked about on Friday, and I'm still seeing stories about it, is Kyler Murray and the clause that you and I talked about on Wednesday of last week has been removed from his contract. Do you think the Cardinals will be successful in unringing the bell?
Again, we talk about the PR aspect of certain things that the NFL does, and it's like the NFL teams are the same way. I mean, it's like this clause had, all right, all the buzz and call. It's like, dude, it had all stopped. Like, everyone's moving on. Like, you had to wait 48 to 72 hours until the Deshaun Watson news was coming out, and no one was going to talk about Kyler again, and you keep your stupid homework clause in there. But instead, they're like, well, you know what? Since everyone talked about it so much, we've decided to make everyone talk about it more. they waited until the worst possible time to remove it. And, good for Kyler, I guess. You get it off the books. But, I think that the removal of the removal of the clause is embarrassing. The whole thing is still embarrassing for everybody involved, and the removal of the clause is embarrassing for the Cardinals because it's like, and it's awkward because it's like, now you just gave this guy all this money, and you very clearly didn't, like, you didn't want to.
Right.
You know, like, you didn't want to give him all this money unless you were able to force him to like study harder at home, and now you can't even force him to study harder at home. So it's a gigantic mess.
It was a total mess. When we talked on Wednesday, I think you and I agreed. If you felt like you needed to have this issue addressed, it should have been addressed privately, and never, ever should have made it to a contract. Like, shame on Murray's agent, shame on Murray, shame on the Cardinals for the, I mean, the, like, I don't, everybody's to blame here. All that has happened is that they've embarrassed themselves and Kyler Murray. Let me move on. Speaking of Kyler Murray, he's a quarterback. So is Lamar Jackson. Is there anything in the Kyler Murray contract, not the clause, which of course the clause isn't there anymore, that would lead us to believe that Lamar Jackson and a contract is imminent?
No, I don't really think so. Only because Lamar has basically been like, I think with Lamar, you know, with Kyler, people, you know, we talked about Lamar before, and people are hesitant. You know, it's like even NFL personnel guys don't want to put Lamar in their top 10, which is, you know, out, or top 10 quarterbacks, which is freaking outrageous.
Yeah, dumb, right?
But like, you know, Lamar. I mean, if you're Lamar, you go to the Ravens. You're like, look, I know I don't have a, you know, I haven't won you a Super Bowl, but I won an MVP in my second year.
Right.
Like, my resume is pretty good. Just give me the biggest contract. Like, just give me the largest contract. And the Ravens are probably like, well, you know, it's so hard. I think it's really difficult if you're Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, to negotiate with a player who doesn't have an agent. Because, you know, you're like, I mean, just probably in the sense that, like, Lamar is probably like, look, I just want the most money. Because I'm young and I'm
right.
A former first round pick and I won an MVP and we win a lot of games. And because I was like, yes, Lamar, but, you know, we usually do all these. He's like, no, I don't want, I don't want to deal with the normal agent shenanigans. Just give me the most money. Like, give me a giant pile of money. And so I think the simplification of it probably almost makes it more difficult from that perspective, because these NFL contracts are typically so complex and have so many dumb trapdoors, like the homework clause for Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
That, you know, that having someone who just wants a basic contract that gives them a giant pile of money actually makes it a lot harder for the team to do all these sort of little shenanigans they like.
And that's why, to me, Lamar Jackson is very willing to play on the franchise tag next year and maybe even the second year. He believes he's not going to get hurt, and maybe he won't, but he's not looking for 8 years or whatever the contract length is. And frankly, if the trend has been suddenly to shorter contracts, and we're going to get to Deebo Samuel in a second, because that's when these guys can get back to the market faster, when the salary cap goes significantly up, and it should go significantly up. I've argued that
I was going to say that Sue Robinson's report just came out, actually, and this sort of speaks to what we were saying, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Okay. So this is the conclusion page. It was like, the NFL may be a, quote, forward-facing, end quote, organization, but it is not necessarily a forward-looking one. Just as the NFL responded to violent conduct after a public outcry, so it seems the NFL is responding to yet another public outcry about Mr. Watson's conduct. At least in the former situation, the policy was changed and applied proactively. Here, the NFL is attempting to impose a more dramatic shift in its culture without the benefit of fair notice to and consistency of consequence for those in the NFL subject to the policy. I think that is very interesting as it relates to her suspension of the 6 games and what could happen if the NFLPA decided to appeal if Goodell enforced a bigger punishment. You know, she's basically saying, look, this, you know, he probably deserves more, but you can't just decide that he deserves more,
right,
because this happened.
Yeah, look, it's the NFL has not done themselves any favors, especially over the last, I'd say, decade or so. All right, a couple of quick things before we have to let Will Brinson go. Debo Samuel, big contract. I think the sticking point from the 49ers perspective was like, is he a wide receiver? Is he a running back? Like, in this day and age, that line, he's a wide receiver. He lines up as a wide receiver. This is not like Jimmy Graham, right, where he's really a tight end, but they line him up in the slot a lot, so we're not really sure. Like, he's a tight end. He's not a wide receiver. So Debo Samuel, while he runs the ball a lot, is really a wide receiver. They didn't want to pay him. Now they're paying him. And what's next for the 49ers other than they got to get rid of Jimmy G?
Yeah, I mean, the Jimmy G thing is, I mean, no one's going to trade for him, I don't think, at this point, just because it's like they know he's going to get cut. I mean, they're going to cut him right before the start of the season, I would think. If in theory, and I need to look at their who doesn't love me looking at the 49ers salary cap live on radio?
It's fun.
But I think that the I would doubt that the Debo Samuel deal changes a whole lot. Yeah, I mean, maybe frees up a little bit of cap space. They still have like $3.3 million in cap space, so they don't have a ton of cap space. They're going to want to cut Jimmy G. He frees up $24 million, I believe, in terms of cap space, and so it's like, Trey Lance has been wowing people in training camp. Even though they've come out and said this is Trey's team, we're moving forward with Trey, and of course that matters. Like, giving him that endorsement matters, but it's like, as long as Jimmy G is there, there's still the specter of that.
Yeah.
And so I think they'll probably end up cutting him because they're not going to trade him to Seattle, and that's really the only landing spot where he makes sense. Although maybe somewhere like Houston. Just because of the connections with Nick Caserio from New England,
sure.
That's probably about it.
Look, it's Kyle Shanahan declared it Trey Lance's team. Okay, you are all in on Trey Lance, and we'll see what happens with Jimmy G. But I don't think he can be there because Jimmy G's going to cast a little bit of a shadow, like a 5 o'clock shadow, like his beard.
Yeah.
Will Brinson, we'll talk again next week, and I'll probably talk to you before then.
All right, sounds good, man. See ya.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.